Remember, Christ is finishing up the Sermon on the Mount. He's closing out the message. He's closing out the sermon. He's bringing it to an end. And by the way, that's what a message and that's what a sermon is all about. A message, preaching, calls people to a decision. Teaching is different. Teaching imparts truth. Preaching imparts truth as well. But it also calls people to a decision. And that's what Jesus Christ is doing at the end of this message. He says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them." Matthew 5, Matthew 6, Matthew 7, He has preached the Sermon on the Mount. He said, that individual or those individuals who hear and do, He said, "I will liken him unto a wise man. I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended and the floods came." That's what we were just talking about. Circumstances may not be exactly the way we want them. We may have storms, we may have rain, we may have floods, we may have winds, metaphorically speaking, spiritually speaking. He said, "And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a" what? "Unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house." See, the rains, the floods, the winds came to both houses. Come to everybody's house. What was the difference? The difference was, what was the house founded upon? Was it founded upon the rock? Was it founded upon the preaching and the teachings and the Word of God? Or was it founded upon man's wisdom? Was it founded upon the foolishness of man's wisdom? Was it founded upon the sand? And the Bible says that that house did what? It fell. And great was the fall of it. Now, with that in mind, I want us to look at Proverbs chapter number 14, verse number 1. Because the next 5 weeks, we are going to spend, the next five Sunday mornings at least, Lord willing, we're going to spend looking at the subject matter that we find in verse number 1. The Bible says in Proverbs 14 and verse number 1, it says, "Every wise woman..." Now, how is a woman wise? How is a man wise? How is anybody wise? We are wise when we hear God's Word and we do it. We are wise when we look into God's Word, when we read it or we hear it preached, and we receive it gladly. And the Bible says, "Every wise woman," what's the next word there? "Buildeth her house. But the foolish plucketh it down with her hands." And so for the next five Sunday mornings, May is going to be the month for mothers. And we're going to look at five different examples in the Scriptures, five different mothers, if you will. And we're going to ask the question, did they build up or did they pluck down? Did they build up? Were they wise or were they foolish? Did they build up or did they pluck it down? And we know, look, how does that happen? How do we build up? How do we pluck down? Whether it depends on whether we're founded upon the rock or the sand. It is determined by whether we receive the Word or reject it. It is determined by whether we hear and do or we hear and do not do. It determines or is determined by whether we're wise or foolish. And we're going to begin this morning. Actually, before we move on, look at verses 2 and 3 as well. I don't think we can separate these from verse number 1. Verse number 2, it says, "He that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord." A wise woman, a wise man, a wise child, a wise teenager is going to be one who fears the Lord. Because the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of understanding. It says, "He that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord, but he that is perverse in his ways despiseth him. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. Now, I want us to take our Bibles and go to the book of Ruth. This is where we're going to start this morning. The book of Ruth. This is going to be our first example. And if you're not familiar with Ruth and with her story, you may not be able to answer right away whether she built up or plucked down. But by the end of the message, you'll be able to see that. And by the title of our message that we'll see here in just a moment, I think it'll give you a big hint. Ruth, chapter number 1. And I want us to begin reading. We'll go back and pick up some more context in the message in just a moment. But I want us to begin reading in verse number 14 of Ruth, chapter number 1. Joshua judges Ruth. The Bible says, "And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people, and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God." Now there's the title of our message this morning, Thy God, my God. Verse 17, "Where thou diest, will I die. And there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." Verse number 18, "When she saw," Naomi, speaking about Naomi, "when she saw that she," Ruth, "was steadfastly minded," was steadfastly minded to go with her, "then she left speaking unto her." Here's what Ruth said in Ruth chapter number 1. If you know, and we'll go back and read in just a moment, but Naomi and her husband Elimelech, they leave Bethlehem. They go down into Moab. They had two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. They took wives of the Moabitish women, Orpah and Ruth. And the Bible says that all three of these men, Elimelech the dad and the two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, or Chilion, however you pronounce it, these three men died. And so here we have three ladies who are left widows. And the Bible says that Naomi hears that back in Bethlehem that God has visited His people, that no longer are they under famine, because that's why they left to begin with. They're no longer under famine. God has provided for them, and she's going to go back home. And Orpah and Ruth begin to go back with her. The Bible says in verse number 7, it says, "Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughter-in-laws with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah." Both of them were going with her. "And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. So Naomi said, "Look, no, don't go with me. You go back to your mother's house. You stay here in Moab. I'm going to go back to Bethlehem. I'm going to go back to my homeland. You stay here." And they said unto her, verse 10, "Surely we will return with thee unto thy people." Both of them said that. Orpah and Ruth both said, no, Naomi, we're both going to go with you. We're going to go back to your homeland. We're going to stay with you. And Naomi said, "Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands?" Naomi said, "Look, if I were able to have children right now, if I were able to conceive and bear in 9 months and have sons for you, it's still going to be a long time before you have husbands. Would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me." And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people. You see, here's what Orpah did. She kissed Naomi and she went back home. Ruth clave unto Naomi and went with her. She had no idea what lie ahead in Bethlehem. She had no idea. She knew, hey, Naomi's not going to be able to provide me another husband. Naomi's not going to be able to provide me another son so that I can marry him so that we can continue the family name. That's not going to happen. But I'm going back with Naomi because her God is my God. You know what made the difference in Ruth, or the difference between Ruth and Orpah? Ruth stayed. And Orpah left. You see, there's a difference between kissing and leaving and cleaving and staying. The Bible says that Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, probably gave her a kiss on the cheek and said, I'm going back home. Ruth, the Bible says, clave to her mother-in-law. And more importantly, she didn't just cleave to her mother-in-law. What she was cleaving to was her mother-in-law's God. And she said, I'm going to stay with you. The Bible says, verse number 16, and Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Listen this morning, what makes a wise woman and what makes the difference between building up a home and plucking it down is whether you stay with God or not. By the way, it makes a difference whose God you have, or the God that you have, excuse me, but it makes a difference if you stay with God or not. And I want to show us this morning that Ruth, and by the way, Ruth was a Moabite. She was not an Israelite. She did not know all the ways of the Israelites. She didn't know of all the religion of the Israelites, but she saw something in the God of the Israelites. She saw something in the God of Naomi, and she said, I'm going back with you. I'm going to stay. Brother Lester Roloff used to sing a song all the time entitled, I Came Here to Stay. And I'm not going to read through all the song. I'm definitely not going to sing it, but I'm not going to read through all the song. But there are three or four different verses and a chorus. And the gist, some of you, how many of you have heard that song, I Came Here to Stay? The gist of the song is very simply, look, things are going to come. He talks about the three Hebrew children when they were thrown in the fiery furnace. He talks about several different Bible stories. And he said, look, they came here to stay. He said, I don't care what comes in my life. I don't care what persecutions, tribulations. I came here to stay with God. Not necessarily a specific location, but I came to stay with God. Doesn't matter what's going to happen. I'm going to stay with God. This is what makes a difference this morning in Proverbs chapter 14. Whether a house is builded up or whether a house is plucked down is whether they stay with God or not. And so I want to give you this morning here in the book of Ruth, this is going to be a real kind of superficial synopsis of the book of Ruth this morning. There are four chapters. But I want to give you three situations in which Ruth stayed with God in spite of everything that was going on. And ladies this morning, by the way, I know I'm speaking to the ladies, but listen, this goes for all of us this morning. Men, we build a home up or we pluck it down by what we do with God and what we do with God's Word. And so let me pray. Let's ask God to help us this morning, and then we'll get into the message. Father, we love you today. Father, we're grateful for your Word. And Father, I'm thankful that we have a church full of ladies who desire to build up their homes. Father, they desire to be wise. They desire to listen to your Word. They desire to follow it, to apply it to their lives, to receive it in so that their homes, so that their lives, so that their families, so that their church families can be built up and not plucked down. And Father, I pray that you'd help all of us, men and women alike, Father, this month as we look, Father, I pray that we would have a desire to be wise and to build up and not to be foolish and to pluck down with our hands. Father, help us with that. And Father, I pray that you'd remind us and teach us from this example of this wonderful lady, this wonderful mother that we find here in the book of Ruth. Father, would you please teach us today? Father, I know I'm speaking primarily to believers today, but Father, if there would be someone here today without Christ who has never acknowledged that they are a sinner and that they are in desperate need of the saving power of Jesus Christ, Father, I pray that today would be their day of salvation. Father, I thank you for your goodness to us. As Brother Steve just sang, Father, you are so good to us on a daily basis. It doesn't matter the situation, circumstances. Father, you're just good to us. That's just your character. And Father, we praise you for it this morning. Father, we commit these next few moments to you. We ask that you'd bless them in a special way, and we'll thank you and praise you for what you'll do. And Father, we pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me give you number one. If you have a bulletin, you have the outline on the back. You'll be able to follow along there, but you'll have the outline on the back. Let me give you number one. Ruth stayed with God, first of all, in spite of the perilous days. Ruth stayed with God in spite of the perilous days. I want you to look just probably one page over in the book of Judges. Now, actually, hold on just a second. Go back to Ruth chapter number one. Look at Ruth chapter number one. Let's begin in verse number one. The Bible says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled." Now, what were the days? What is the time frame? What is the setting? It is the time when the judges ruled. That there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. Look at Judges chapter number 21, probably just the next page over or maybe a couple pages back. Notice what the Bible says in Judges 21 and verse number 25. What kind of day were they living in? By the way, I believe it's a similar day in which we live today. The Bible says in Judges chapter 21 and verse 25, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes." It was a day of anarchy. It was a day of chaos. That was the day in which Ruth lived. That was the day in which Naomi lived. That was the day in which Elimelech lived. That was the day in which the nation of Israel lived. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. There was no foundation. There was no true north. There was no set point of authority. Everyone did that which is right in his own eyes. By the way, that's what's wrong in our world today, is we've left the compass and we've left the authority of God's Word. God's authority gives us a point of reference, a point of authority for which and by which we live. And we've left it. We've left the moorings of God's Word. And listen, we're floating around in a sea of chaos and anarchy. And that was the day in which she lived. That was the day in which they all lived. Everyone did that which was right in his own eyes. Listen, God has given us truth. I said this in Sunday school with our young people. We get in trouble. We make decisions hard when we allow feelings and emotions to come into the equation instead of making decisions based upon truth. Truth is truth, and truth will always be truth. It doesn't matter the personality that is involved. It doesn't matter the people who are involved. If truth is truth, truth is always truth, and truth is always truth. It doesn't change. It doesn't matter who believes it. It doesn't matter who doesn't believe it. It doesn't matter who tries to pick it apart. It doesn't matter who doubts it. It doesn't matter who wants to debate about it. If God said it, it's true. And this was a day in which everybody did that which was right in his own eyes. They didn't have any fixed point of authority whatsoever. And that's the day in which she lived. So what do you do in a day like that? You know what you do? You stay. You stay with this. Hey, mamas and wives, what do you do in a day when society tells you to be one way and society tells you that you're a weirdo if you're a homemaker? Society tells you you're crazy if you love your kids and you don't want to climb the corporate ladder. Society tells you that Titus 2, where it says that women are to be keepers of the home, that doesn't mean they can't go out and get a job, but they're to be keepers at home. And the Bible tells you that, but society says something else. What do? You stay. You stay. You stay with what God's Word says. Number one this morning, Ruth stayed with God in spite of the perilous days. Let me give you number two. Number two, Ruth stayed with God, first of all, in spite of the perilous days. Let me say this. Listen, today, and what we're dealing with in the day in which we live, I never thought, now it shouldn't surprise us because the Bible tells us, and the Bible has told us in many different places in the Scripture that these days were going to come. The Bible told us and tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that there would be perilous times that would come. In the latter days, perilous times shall come. And listen, we're there. We're there. Where everybody does that which is right in their own eyes. I never, ever thought that we would be dealing with some of the foolishness that we're dealing with in our country today. So what do? You throw up your hands and quit? No, you stay. You stay with what God's Word says. This is our only fixed point of authority. It's God's Word. So what do? We stay. Ruth stayed with God in spite of the perilous days. Number two, Ruth stayed with God in spite of the painful disappointments. You ever have any disappointments in your life? Sure you do. Your family disappoints you. Your friends disappoint you. Hey, sometimes we may even feel like God disappointed us. You ever have any painful disappointments? Ruth did. Look at Ruth chapter number 1. We read verses 1 and 2. Look at verse number 3. The Bible says, "And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died, also both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband." That means they were all three gone. Her whole family's gone except her two daughter-in-laws. The Bible doesn't mention in verse number 5 Ruth, but we know that Ruth was married to Mahlon or Chilion. Her husband died. But you know what she did? She stayed with God. You see, here's the truth about Ruth this morning. When Ruth had problems, she didn't run from God, she ran to God. We got a lot of people in our world today. Listen, even in Christianity and even in good churches today, we've got a lot of people who will wave the hanky and who will lift the Bible up when everything's good, but when things go bad, they want to quit on God. Now listen, when we feel like things have gone bad, God's still there and He's still good. He's not the one that we quit on. By the way, we don't quit at all. Look, when problems came in Ruth's life, she didn't run away from God. She ran to God. And people today, when bad things come, they want to run away from God instead of running to God. God's still there. He hasn't changed. Look, she stayed with God in spite of the painful disappointments. We read verses 11 through 13. Look, Ruth had absolutely no guarantee of a future with Naomi. She's going back to Bethlehem, Judah. She has no guarantee of another husband. She has no guarantee of what's going to happen back there. But you know what she did? She went. She had no guarantee that there would be another son who could raise up the name of her former husband that could continue her name or his name, excuse me. She had no guarantee. Look at verse number 18. "But she was steadfastly minded to stay." The Bible says when she, speaking of Naomi, saw that she, Ruth, was steadfastly minded. You know what Ruth did when the painful disappointments came? She stayed. She stayed. Look at chapter number 2. "Thy God, my God." Your people are going to be my people. Your God's going to be my God. "Where you lodge, I'm going to lodge." And it wasn't necessarily about Naomi. It was about Naomi's God. Now let me say this, just a time out, a side note. What a wonderful daughter-in-law. And what a wonderful daughter-in-law who's going to take care of her mother-in-law. Listen, my husband's gone. She's gone. Right? Wouldn't that be many of, well, I don't know, probably not our ladies. But what, hey, let's flip it. Wouldn't that be many of the men in here this morning? If your wife died, hey, I don't care about the mother-in-law anymore. She's out of the picture. Now, boy, Ruth was a good daughter-in-law, wasn't she? She loved her mother-in-law. By the way, that's biblical. We ought to take care of moms and dads. We ought to take care of mother-in-laws and father-in-laws. And boy, We could get off on this, but we live in a day where, hey, boy, they get old and we don't want to have anything to do with them. We just throw them in a home somewhere and forget about them. That's not biblical. That's not biblical whatsoever. First Timothy chapter number 5 shows us that. Ruth stayed in spite of the painful disappointments. Look at chapter 2, verse number 12. Here, Ruth is, we're jumping ahead. They've come back to Bethlehem, Judah, and Ruth is gleaning in Boaz's field. And look what Boaz says. Look at the statement he makes about Ruth. The Lord recompense thy work. Now, we're not going to speak about it this morning in detail really at all, but chapter number 2, boy, Ruth is a worker. Ruth goes out and works, and Ruth gleans, and boy, what part of being a wise woman does that play into it? That a wife, or not a wife now, she's a widow, but a lady is going to go out and work so she can take care of her mother-in-law. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel. Look at this. She's a Moabite. She's a Gentile. She's not a Jew. She's a Gentile. Under whose wings thou art come to trust. Under whose wings thou art come to trust, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel. Under whose wings thou art come to trust. Thy God, my God. Whose wings had she come under to trust? God's wings. The God of Israel. Ruth stayed. Ruth stayed with God in spite of the perilous days. She stayed with God in spite of the painful disappointments. Listen, dear friend, disappointments are going to come. They're going to come to all of us. And sometimes when they come, we want to throw in the towel and just hang it up and go do something different. Go live somewhere differently. Go get a different job. Whatever. But you know what a wise man and a wise woman do? They stay. They stay. And they finish. That's what Ruth did. Let me give you number 3. Number 1, Ruth stayed with God in spite of the perilous days. Ruth stayed with God in spite of the painful disappointments. And number 3, Ruth stayed with God in spite of the peculiar doctrine. We're not going to read, but all of chapter number 3, Ruth chapter number 3, pretty much the whole chapter is speaking about the kinsman redeemer. The kinsman redeemer. The Israelites, the Hebrews, had a law of the kinsman redeemer. And if a woman's husband passed away and there was a kinsman that was next to kin and he was available, he was to be the kinsman redeemer and take her to wife to continue on the family name. And in chapter number 3, that's what's spoken of. Remember, Ruth was a Moabite. Ruth didn't know a whole lot. Now, she had been married to this man, probably for a number of years. They lived there for 10 years, the Bible says. We don't know how long they had been married, but no doubt she had learned some of the laws and some of the commandments of the nation of Israel, of the Jews. But here she's coming into a family that has a whole different belief system, has some peculiar doctrines. We've just seen this recently in 1 Peter chapter number 2. What does the Bible say about the Christian? That we are what? We're peculiar. We're to be strangers and pilgrims in this world. We are a peculiar people. Why? Because we believe what the Bible says. You ask your average person in America today who doesn't know a whole lot about the Bible, you tell them what you actually believe, they're going to think you're strange. They're going to think you're odd. You do what? You go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night? You drive a bus to go pick up kids on Sunday? And then after church is over, you have to come early to get on the bus and go get them. And then after church is over, you have to take them home and you don't get back till about 2 or 3. And then you're back at church at 6. What? You're crazy. You give how much of your money to the church? You do know that pastor's stealing all of it, don't you? That's what a lot of people think. You're crazy. What? You still believe that foolishness in Ephesians chapter number 5? You still believe that foolishness in Titus chapter number 2? You still believe, hey, you believe that you ought to love your wife the way Christ loved the church? What kind of big sissy are you? Yeah. See, a lot of men in our society today, they determine how strong they are by how abusive they are to their wives. Instead of loving their wives the way Christ loved the church, that's what He told us to do. How did Christ love the church? Unconditionally, sacrificially, selflessly. That's how He loves the church. She stayed with God in spite of the peculiar doctrine. That's different than what we believe. We serve these gods called Ashtoreth and Baal. We have all kinds of gods that we serve. Well, who is this Jehovah? What is this doctrine of the kinsman redeemer? What is that all about? And in chapter number 3, Naomi tells Ruth exactly what to do according to the law, because she has a kinsman redeemer named Boaz. Now, there was another man who was closer than Boaz, but he didn't want to fulfill his responsibility. And so it fell to Boaz, and Boaz was glad to do it. And she stayed in spite of peculiar doctrine. And I say that simply for this reason. The more time goes on, the more peculiar you're going to look. And what I mean by that, if you stay with what the Bible says, look, you don't have to go out of your way to look peculiar, do you? You just have to believe what the Bible says. And people think you're weird. And people think you're odd. That you have a God that you love that much, that you give that much time to, that you read your Bible every day and you pray with your family and you have family devotions. What's that all about? Peculiar doctrine. She stayed in spite of the peculiar doctrine. Listen, dear ladies, today when all the other ladies are making fun of who you are and what you do and how you live, you just stay. And I'm not saying to stay because you just want to be peculiar and I'll show you and I'm going to put it in your face. That's not what I'm saying this morning. I'm saying you stay because it's God's Word. It's not man's Word. You see, they're staying with what society has taught them and what man has taught them. We need to just stay with what God has taught us and what God continually teaches us. So, here's where we're at. Look at chapter number 4. Ruth stayed with God in spite of the perilous days. She stayed with God in spite of the painful disappointments. She stayed with God in spite of the peculiar doctrine. So here's the question. What was the result? Did she build up or did she pluck down? What was the result? She built up, didn't she? Look at chapter number 4. And if you have a bulletin, you have the notes there. Chapter number 4 and verse number 11. Let me get back there. Hang on. Ruth chapter 4, verse number 11. So what was the result? Because she stayed. She said, Naomi, your God's going to be my God. Naomi, I am steadfastly minded to go back with you, to stay with you. I want your God to be my God. Boaz sees her and says, oh, God reward you because you have put yourself under His wings. You have trusted in the Lord God of Israel. Chapter 4, verse 11. I love this. And all the people that were in the gates, this is after Boaz has fulfilled his responsibility as the kinsman redeemer. He takes her to be his wife. And in verse number 11, and all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah. Who were Rachel and Leah? They were the mothers of the 12 tribes of Israel. The Lord make the woman that is come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah. Notice this. Which two, speaking of Rachel and Leah, did build the house of Israel? What does the wise woman do? She buildeth her house. And they're comparing Ruth and they're saying, God make Ruth just like Rachel and Leah, the two women who built the house of Israel. And do thou worthily in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. And let thy house be like the house of Phares, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. Boy, it's going to be famous, isn't it? And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. And the women in her neighbor, and the women her neighbors gave it a name, saying, There's a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. Anybody have in the middle of your Bible there, does it tell you what the name Obed means? It means worshiper. Her first son. A Gentile bride. Perfect picture of Christ in the church. Boaz, the kinsman redeemer. Jesus Christ, the kinsman redeemer. Ruth, the Gentile bride. Us, the church, the Gentile bride. What does she call her first son? Worshipper. Worshipper. And they called his name Obed. He is the father. Okay, so did she build up or pluck down? She built up. Worshipper. What's she going to name her first son? Is she going to name him, which he hasn't come along yet, but is she going to name him Ahab? Ahab hasn't come along yet, but is she going to name him, what's the name of him? Nimrod? No. She names him Obed. Worshipper. Look at the last part of verse 17. He, Obed, is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Wow. How did all that happen? Why did all that happen? Because she stayed. In chapter 1, Naomi says, Go back. I'm not going to be able to give you another son. Go back to your mother. Don't come with me. Orpah said, Okay, I'm listening. Orpah kissed her and left. Ruth said, no, verse 14, she clave unto Naomi. Your God's going to be my God. Where you live, I'm going to live. Where you die, I'm going to die. I am steadfastly minded to stay with you. And she gets by. What does God have waiting for? A Boaz. A kinsman redeemer. I wonder sometimes in my own life. I wonder sometimes in my own life how many blessings I've missed because I've quit. I've quit a project or I've quit something before the blessing actually came. Before God brought it to fruition. No, she stayed. God gave her a Boaz. God gave her a kinsman redeemer. God gave her salvation. God gave her the religion, and I don't like to use that word religion, but he gave her the religion of the Jews, which was totally different than the religion of the Moabites. Because the Jews had Jehovah. He gave her a kinsman redeemer. He gave her a son. He gave her a great-grandson by whom all other kings would be forever compared in the nation of Israel. His name was David. From whose line the greatest of all kings would come, King Jesus. Why did that happen? Because she stayed. Because instead of plucking down, instead of hearing God's word and rejecting it, she heard it and received it and she built up. Ladies, let me ask you this morning. Are you building up? One of the ways you build up is you stay. You stay, and I'm not talking about a location per se. I'm talking about staying with God. Ruth stayed with God in spite of the perilous days, in spite of the painful disappointments, in spite of the peculiar doctrine. Man, the world thinks we're crazy because we still believe this book. they thought our Savior was so crazy they killed him. So we're in good company, aren't we? When the problems came, Ruth ran to God. She didn't run away from him. She ran to God. She didn't run away from him. What was the result? She built up instead of plucking down. God help us to be that way today, whether men or women. God help us. Let me read one more time. We're done. Proverbs 14:1. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. How is one of the ways that we build? We stay. We stay with God. Father, thank you for your truth this morning. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for giving us a book that shows us how to live. Father, I know that we may seem peculiar in the day in which we live because we listen and adhere and obey this book. But Father, help us to stay. Help us to keep obeying. Help us to keep adhering. Father, we have no idea the blessings that await us if we'll just stay. If we'll stay with you. Father, you gave her a redeemer. You gave her a husband. You gave her a royal heritage. Father, help us. Thank you for reminding us today. I pray that you'll help our ladies. Father, I'm so thankful for the mothers and the women that you've given to Maranatha Baptist Church. Father, they definitely build up this place. And Father, I'm so grateful for it. Father, help. I don't know decisions that need to be made, but Father, if there are decisions that need to be made, I pray that we would move and we would be stirred by your Spirit this morning and we wouldn't leave here without doing business with you today. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let me ask you to stand to your feet with heads bowed and eyes closed. Nobody looking around. Miss Pam's going to begin to play in just a moment. Listen, if the Lord's worked in your heart today, if the Holy Spirit stirred in your heart today, moms, wives, ladies today, do you need to move? Has God worked in your heart today? Then move. Come to the platform, kneel right where you're at in your pew. Move. Ask God. Or thank God for reminding you today, I want to be a lady. I want to be a mom who builds up her house. I want to be a lady who builds up her church. I want to be a lady who builds up her community just by the way that I live. And dear friend, if you're here today without Christ, I know we didn't really speak to that this morning, but dear friend, if you're here and you've never trusted Christ, you've never placed your complete trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection for the salvation of your soul, I would beg you to come. Because if you've never done that, if death were to take you today, you have no confidence of where you're going to spend eternity. If you don't know that today, I'd beg you to come. Say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved today. We'll take the Bible and we'll show you what the Bible says about salvation, about having eternal life. Miss Pam's playing. If you need to come, you come. Believer, do you need to come? Do you need to kneel right where you're at and pray? Maybe some dads this morning, you'd say, Lord, I want to build my house up. I don't want to pluck it down. I want to be a wise man in my home. Ladies, I want to be a wise woman in my home. I want to listen to what your word says, God. I don't want to listen to just parts of it. I want to be obedient to your word. I don't care if people think that I have a peculiar doctrine. If it's your word, I want to listen to it. Every wise woman buildeth her house. She can't help but do that. If she's wise, that means she has received God's word and she can't but help to build up her house. But the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Where He leads me, I will follow. That's what the song says. Where He leads me, I will follow. He led Ruth to Bethlehem. Hey, look this way. Thank you so much for your attention today. And look forward to seeing you back tonight. If you can, if you're able to make it back tonight at 6, I'd sure love to have you back. And men, I want to meet with you for just a moment over in Brother Jackie's office. And boy, let's stay. Let's stay. By the way, steadfastly minded. Think about that little phrase. Steadfastly minded. You know what we would call that? stubborn. Steadfastly minded. She was going to stay with God. Y'all quit looking at each other, husbands and wives. Stubborn. Amen. Let's pray. We'll be dismissed. Brother Steve Fry, pray for us, please, sir.